WildTalkRadio.com.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Oh, yes!
Featuring Sir Rockin.
It's just a man! What the Rock is cooking!
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
This is the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. There is no more magic in Tampa with Tom Brady, but there is still magic on Monday Night Raw, and they can hit all their kicks. I'm Sir Rock, and that's Lindsay Ward.
Okay, I'm just gonna say this. Don't fuck this up, Dallas. I don't want to hear it. If you do. Okay? Congratulations, y'all beat the Bucks. You're moving on. Good job, well done. But don't fuck it up, because if you do, there will be no love. There will be no nothing for you. I will shame you because I can. Because the Falcons no longer have the biggest fuck up in football history. That goes to the Chargers. Congratulations. Thank you for taking 28-3 away from us. We appreciate that. Y'all enjoy losing to the Jags and giving that game away.
Lindsay's 28-3 is still bigger.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
It goes to the Chargers.
Nope.
They have it.
No. Yours was the Super Bowl.
Lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
No, sorry. Super Bowl loss is bigger.
Not in my book.
Anyway, I'll get a new book, because that's the way it is.
Let me have this!
No. Anyway, Monday Night Raw opened with Solo Sikoa and the WWE Tag Team Champions, the Usos, coming to the ring. They announce some stuff about Kevin Owens disrespecting the Tribal Chief, and that next week on Monday Night Raw, there will be an acknowledgement ceremony from Roman Reigns. By the sounds of it, will feature, you know, members of the bloodline from all generations coming to honor Roman Reigns. Smells like something.
I think they're cooking something.
Wonder. Smell it. Sniff it. Feel it. Is it going to be electrifying, maybe? Or is that the rumble? Who knows? Anyway, we'll talk about that in a bit. They also announced they will defend the Raw Tag Team titles next week against the Judgment Day. Yes, the Raw Tag Team titles. Yes, Nia Jax. Yes. Nia Jax is who they're referring to. Judgment Day came to the ring. Talk about how they run Monday Night Raw, and they're going to run the gauntlet, and like they ran the gauntlet last week and won the number one contendership. And then Baylor put over the ex-con Dom for stepping up last week and replacing him in the gauntlet. Priest said the tag team titles were returning to Monday Night Raw. Damien also said the Bloodline claims to run Raw, yet they've never stepped to them. Dominic said he smelled fear. Jay pointed out all the teams they beat, including the New Day, the Street Profits, and even it started by beating Ray and Dominic for the tag team titles. Dominic told the Usos they wouldn't last a minute in the cell with the prisoners he was in there with. He called the Usos wannabe essays. And they wouldn't be able to hang in the cell he was in. The Usos. Solo got up in Dom's face. Rhea then got up in Solo's face. Fans popped for that.
let Rhea and Solo fight. Let them do it.
Dom then took a shot at Solo. Everyone starts to fight. Mustafa Ali got in the ring when it was Rhea and Solo ready to go again. Rhea's like, hey, get him on. Come on, hit me, hit me. Mustafa Ali dove from the top rope, setting
which
up
a nice spot.
Setting up Solo and Ali in the match. Thoughts on the start of the show?
Let Solo and Rhea fight. Let it happen.
Let them fight.
I know what they're setting up. I know what they're setting up. Because at some point the bloodline has to get a female, and there could be a female on her way back that would fit perfectly with them. But God, just let Rhea fight the men. Let Rhea do it. Same with Charlotte. Let Charlotte fight the men if she wants to. Damn, like, just do the thing. Because you have two potential candidates there. But yeah, Solo and Rhea, I want to see it. I'm sorry, I do. I want to see it happen just because I feel like it would actually be really good. But I enjoyed all of this. Dominic telling the Usos that they can't hang and they wouldn't survive the cell that he was in. I just sat here and cackled. Like, oh God. Oh God. You're saying this to the Usos, which between the two of them, how many arrests do they have? How much jail time have they served in comparison to our sweet summer child, Dominic? Like, damn. Damn. Ballsy. But all of this was really good. Like, this was a really Judgment Day heavy show for unknown reasons. But Kevin coming out, that was good too. I liked all of this. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
So Kevin Owens came out during the Solo Sokoa Mustafa Ali match, as Lindsay referenced. Solo will get the win. But Owens coming out, going in, getting the fight with the Usos as they came to the ring. Yeah, this was all good. Owens had to be held back by Pierce and everyone. It's setting up Rumble. It's setting up next week. It's setting up everything. Good stuff all the way around. And we're seeing a lot of Solo Sokoa get big wins every single week.
They're doing a lovely job of building him into something and making him into a star. Like, I really am enjoying this process of them setting him up and building him up into being a star. And potentially at some point, provided certain things don't occur, he could be a challenger for Roman. There could be a challenge from within the bloodline where Solo's like, I can take you. And Roman's like, yeah, whatever. And Solo's like, no, bitch, I can take you.
Possibly. So we had the final video from one Cody Rhodes, and he announced that Cody Rhodes will in fact be returning at the Royal Rumble. Everyone get their shock face on.
I mean, I appreciate that they went ahead and just announced it because, as Rock basically alluded to, we all kind of figured that's when Cody was coming back. We were all sort of, especially with the videos and everything else, pretty much speculating that that's when it was going to happen. So just go ahead, announce him for the Rumble, announce that he's going to be there, and it just makes things so much easier. So that way it's not just, oh my God, I'm so shocked. It's Cody Rhodes, everybody. I had no idea he was coming. Like, instead of that, it's, hey, Cody's in the Rumble. We don't know when he's going to show up, like what number, but we do know he's in the Rumble. So for people that want to see him and maybe were on the fence about possibly buying tickets, now they can get off the fence and they can go buy their tickets if they like.
Okay. Anyway, just hope things are okay on football. Anyway, moving back to wrestling.
What do you mean things are okay on football?
When someone's being carted off the field. So.
Oh no! Feel better!
So, there you go. Anyway, Byron Saxton was outside Adam Pearce's office and it's been revolving door all night because everyone wants to be in the Royal Rumble, including Elias. He wants to get in there and win it. It's his vengeance tour. MVP walked out and, you know, Elias was like, oh, you're trying to enter? And then Elias basically challenged MVP to a match. And MVP said, yeah, you'll fight the 2023 Royal Rumble winner. I mean, yeah, Cash, yeah. When it's not this serious. Anyway.
Brink gets generally blamed for every injury unless it's a terribly, terribly serious injury and humor is not allowed.
Yeah, that's where we
draw the line.
So anyway, so Elias challenged MVP to a match. MVP accepted as the 2023 Royal Rumble winner. It was not who Elias fought. It was not MVP. It was the giant Omos, the Colossus. Shocker, Omos won the match.
I mean, I'm so stunned. I'm so stunned.
MVP's other clients, the team of Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin, took on the Street Profits on the show. With the Street Profits getting the win.
Okay, I'm just going to say this. Montez's pants confused me.
Why?
Because he had the Street Profits on the front, and for a second I thought he had his pants on backwards. I don't know why that sticks out in my brain. I don't know why that's the only thing I really remember about this, but I just remember that I had to check his pockets as they were going to commercial, because it's like, are his pants on backwards? Because he had the Street Profits on the front and nothing on the back. So I was a little confused there for a second, but it looks like we might be having something going back into business. There might be something reforming.
Right in front of our very eyes, and we'll talk about more of that here in a bit. We had Kathy Kelly interviewing the Judgment Day, and Finn Balor asked about the main event and put over the six-pack challenge that he's involved with. And if anyone is ready for that, it would be him. Chad Gable and Otis showed up. They took issue with the Judgment, claiming that they've run through the tag team division, and Gable wants a shot at redemption. Ripley told Gable that not make her do something she would regret. Dom said he's been pumping iron in the yard all day, and even he couldn't hold Rhea back.
Ah.
Pumping iron in the yard. Anyway, Gable said Dom needed to work on having a strong body and a strong mind because, well, he doesn't have either. And told him the next time he's in the prison to sign up for the Alpha Academy course. Priest had enough of it and told him to get to the ring because we're going to fight.
The whole Dominic shit is so stupid. It's so stupid. But it's working.
It is
and
working.
And I hate that it's working. Like, it shouldn't work, because it's just like, baby, you went to prison for, like, you didn't even go to prison, we all know this, but, like, you were there for what? A cup of coffee? 15 minutes? Tops? What are you talking about, pumping iron? Like, this whole embracing of this is just ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, yes.
And amazing.
It is amazing at the same time. This is your casual reminder. The Royal Rumble entry contest has begun. Do you want in? All you gotta say is, I'm in, and you'll be entered in the Royal Rumble entry contest. The drawing will happen this Sunday on WTR Sunday Night, Wrestle Talk Radio. Spots are limited. Just say, I'm in. And no, you cannot pick a number.
Dibs on 30!
No one's allowed to pick their own number.
Dibs on 30. I licked it.
You're not, Casey, you're not at 69,38,572. No. Or not even 69,420. You're not in on that one either. Because that's the internet meme. You're not.
What about 69,3.14?
Just say I'm in. You can be part of the Royal Rumble entry contest. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio or in the chat to say I'm in. Thank you. We move on. Back to our regular scheduled programming. So, we had Dominic and Damian take on the Alpha Academy, not acknowledging any of you.
With good one, Casey, good one.
With Dominic and Damian getting the win over Alpha Academy.
Because I'm fucking 12. This was good. I like this. There were a lot of shenanigans. Dominic required a lot of help. He didn't even really properly pin at the end, but that's okay. This was good. This was fun. I like this. Rhea and Finn are very supportive parents. You know, it's... like I said, this was a really Judgment Day heavy show. Everybody got to shine tonight.
Which is good. Io Sky took on Meechin Mia Yim. Mia Yim would get the win over Io Sky. You had Dakota Kai at ringside and also Candice LeRae at ringside with Mia Yim. So probably setting up a tag match between those four women at some point in the future.
I'm down. I'm completely down. Let's go. Let's do the thing.
I am with you 100% on that one. So, also on this show, we had the man return to Monday Night Raw. She talked about the Bengals winning, and she joked that she dyed her hair orange just to, you know, fit in. She called out the Karen known as Bayley. Bayley was supporting her team, the San Francisco 49ers, and claimed her name is Bayley, not Karen, and Lynch said she is a Karen, and someone needs to explain to Bailey what a Karen is, and then Bailey's like, I'm Bailey, you're Becky, she's Io, that's Dakota, etc., etc. Bailey said that this was real mature of Becky Lynch, who, you know, was going off, and then Becky said that she's an entitled idiot with a crappy haircut who peaked in 2015. Bailey said she ran NXT that year when Lynch ran off with the other horsemen and took her spot. Lynch asked if Bailey was trying to recreate something with her own faction, and Bailey said she wasn't trying to recreate anything, accused Lynch of taking her spot. Lynch said she wasn't brought up because they saw more in her than they did in Bailey. Lynch said Bailey was a champion and she just wanted to help the future, right? That's all you want to do. Becky asked if that was true or if Bailey was full of crap because, like, she always said she was. Becky said she wasn't supposed to be main or headline WrestleMania, but she worked harder than anyone. And Becky knows that Bayley loves the business, but Bayley whines and moans more whenever she's not the focus. Bayley told the crowd not to bother chanting for Becky Lynch because, you know, it's not needed, but they still did it anyway. Bayley said the only reason Becky Lynch became the man is because she was punched in the face by another woman. Becky Lynch said she could punch Bayley in the face right now, and maybe, you know, that would change some things. And Dakota, you know, showed up, walked in front. Becky was like, oh, look at you hiding behind them. And Bayley's like, I don't need them. She stepped back in front. So you wouldn't have a problem facing me in a one-on-one match next week, Becky asked. Bayley's like, no problem. Then what about, you know, by yourself? No problem. And all these things. And then goes, next week in a steel cage match. Bayley hesitated for a second and accepted. Lynn said it was official and they would see each other next week on Monday Night Raw.
This was all very good.
Hell of a setup for the match.
My body is ready. Let's go. That's all I have to say. Like, it's Bayley and Becky. Like, fuck.
The sparring was really good.
It was really good.
It was really, really good between the two. We then had later on the show Bianca Belair come out. She's been gone a couple weeks, but she missed everybody. She said she would never miss Raw. It was up to her. They're a risk, and well, she got her face busted open by the ring a couple weeks ago. She was, you know, Bianca said she would face Alexa over and over again, despite the scar she left on her face. Belair said that with every risk comes reward of remaining champion. Belair said she heard everything Alexa had to say last week and questioned whether she has the guts to come say it to her face. This brought out Alexa Bliss, who accused Bianca of fearing her because she doesn't know what to expect from her. And Alexa started to mention the Royal Rumble. Bianca was like, hold on a second. We assume you can face against 29 other women, or you face me at the Royal Rumble. Alexa's like, what's the catch? You want to control, so the choice is yours. Alexa agreed to fight Bianca at the Royal Rumble. And Bianca's like, well, you're going to fight me now too. So these two women start brawling all over the building. Up and down the ramp, into the crowd, all around ringside. A woman was holding a doll, a lily doll. And then later another person was holding a lily doll. Then Bianca sets up for the KOD to put her on the chairs. But then coming out of the concourse area, Uncle Howdy, which allowed Alexa Bliss to drop Bianca with a DDT.
One, the fight was spectacular.
It was.
Like, they did a really fantastic job. They were going a little tight on it, but they made it look really, really good. But what I really enjoyed about this was when Uncle Howdy showed up, Bianca's reaction to him. Because I feel like the way that they played it, and they did a really good job on it, was it got real for Bianca. Where it's because all, you know, they said this isn't Uncle Howdy's fight, this isn't Bray's fight, this isn't about that, you know, this is about you and me. And I think to a certain extent, Bianca was dismissing Uncle Howdy and Bray and the influence and the power of all of that. Because mm-hmm. she's like, yeah, whatever. Not really understanding what she's kind of getting into with all of that. Because in canon, at least, Bianca Belair has never met Bray Wyatt, has never met Uncle Howdy, doesn't know anything to do with that period, really, in Alexa's life. Like, she wasn't really up on the main roster. They weren't doing a lot with her at that point when Alexa was doing Little Miss Bliss. I think Bianca was still down in NXT at the height.
Yes.
I think.
Yes.
So she would have seen it, but she doesn't like interact with it. So the fact that you have this first interaction of Uncle Howdy appearing, which I thought was a really cool effect, that they lit the concourse, they had the smoke, and they had him standing in the light, you know, doing the whole Uncle Howdy shit, looking very mysterious and eerie and scary. And you just have Bianca stand there with Alexa on her shoulders, and she's like, oh, fuck, what the fuck is going on here? And then you have Alexa get down and whoop her ass, and you just have this kind of moment between Alexa and Uncle Howdy where it's like, is she going to go with him?
Mm-hmm.
Or is she going to walk away? And the answer is she walked away. But I like how also Uncle Howdy is very gradually getting closer to Alexa, much in the same way that he got closer to Bray, where he's working his way towards her and is preparing to either attack her or pull her back in or do something very much like what he did with Bray Wyatt, where eventually he appeared in the backstage segments, and then he started to appear in person, and he gradually worked his way up to attacking Bray and face planting Bray with a Sister Abigail in the ring, which basically woke Bray up.
Yep.
And so could we see something similar with Alexa, where Uncle Howdy potentially attacks Alexa or costs Alexa something, you know, namely the title, and that's how we get Crazy Little Miss Bliss back, or however. But I liked the storytelling in this. I like how you have him sort of trying to pull her back in and work, like, wake her up. And also the return of the chair on Friday. I was very happy. I didn't think they still had it. I thought they got rid of it.
Of course they had it. Oh, I have all the stuff. They never get rid of anything. Have you seen the warehouse? They keep everything. Because one day, they'll need it.
Oh, yeah, I know. But it's like the fact that they still had all it. It's like, oh, yay, they still have it.
Could he really fit into it as much? Not so much. But that's a different story for another day. So, Tozawa was one of the people who wanted a, you know, shot at the Royal Rumble. He gets storms into the office, complains to Adam Pearce. He's like, I can't put you in, but I get, if you win a match, you can be considered. His match was against Bronson Reed. Bronson Reed destroyed Akira Tozawa. Good showcase for him. Tozawa played his part very well, but Bronson Reed got the win because this is the match he needed to see for Bronson Reed, who is now back on Monday Night Raw.
I know, it was a good showing for Bronson Reed.
Yep. Then your main event was a six-pack challenge, a six-way elimination match for a shot at the United States title. You had Bobby Lashley, Seth Rollins, Miz, Ziggler, Baron Corbin, and Finn Balor. You had Austin Theory at ringside. This was a pretty good main event. Miz was out early. Ziggler was out after him. Finn then went out. It came down to Corbin, Lashley, and Rollins. You had Omos and MVP come to ringside and everything like that. But in the end, it was Bobby Lashley walking out as the number one contender for the United States title and will fight for it next week on Raw XXX.
Number one, I love the Raw Triple X. But number two, the Hurt Business is making their presence sorely felt.
Mm-hmm.
So could we see the Hurt Business reforming with Omos this time? And we see them make a larger impact than what they did before.
It feels that way.
Like, if they reform the Hurt Business, I would not be that offended with it. And the reason why is simply they need to do something with all of those individuals. And if they work together as a group, do the thing. The Hurt Business, especially in the COVID era, did not get the appreciation that it really deserved. I mean, it was one of the pinnacle factions during the whole COVID era, and it kind of ended too soon, at least in my opinion, because they sort of like ran out of stories to tell, right? So now you can tell more of those stories again with more people being back and titles changing hands and potentially Bobby taking another run at Roman at some point down the line, where now he's got his boys and his faction behind him. And they can take on the bloodline. And that's really what they're doing right now in terms of writing, is they're setting up entire factions to go against the bloodline. Because as we're seeing, being one person going against the entire bloodline does not end well for people. So the fact if you go in with a group that can neutralize people like Solo Sikoa and the Usos and Sami Zayn and Paul Heyman, and you can get to Roman, you can potentially neutralize Roman and take him out. But you have to get through everybody else first. And it's always helpful if you take backup.
It is.
But this was a good show. I enjoyed it.
So next week is Raw 30.
From Philly.
From Philly. We have a steel cage match between Becky Lynch and Bayley. We have a Raw tag team title match between the Usos and the Judgment Day. We have an acknowledgement ceremony that smells like something's up with Roman Reigns. We have a U.S. title match between Theory and Lashley, which we've seen, so that's less exciting, but should be good nonetheless. And you have the legends of WWE appearing, including Teddy Long, Ric Flair, Kurt Angle, the Bella Twins, X-Pac, Road Dogg, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, and just randomly, Lindsay, who?
The Undertaker. Actually, isn't he doing a one-man show there?
No.
He's not?
No.
I thought he was.
No. He did one month ago.
Oh, okay. But, I mean, it's time. He's been retired a year. It's time. Where he now gets worked into the whole Legends thing, where he makes those yearly appearances when they need him, and they take him out of mothballs, and they're like, here's the Undertaker! in whatever capacity he's going to be in. The only thing I ask is, for the love of fuck, can you take a new picture of Mark Calloway and put it and use it on TV? They have been using the same goddamn Undertaker picture for the past
12 years.
12 years.
It really is. It's like from 2009.
It's a good picture. I'm not going to lie. And when you have a good picture, you use it forever. But legit, we all know he's older now. And it's fine. We all accept it. You have pictures of him in his nice Hall of Fame suit where he looked good. You can Photoshop the hair situation. It's fine. But just use a better picture of him, please. Or use a new picture of him. Because, like, that's not really him anymore, even though I'm sure. Because, like, here's the thing with Taker. Which version of Taker are we going to get? Are we going to get him in the hat and the coat and the fog and all the bits? Or are we going to get the hybrid of Mark Calloway and The Undertaker? Which, honestly, I would not be offended if we get the hybrid version. Or even if we just get Mark Calloway and he just walks out there in, like, jeans and a black t-shirt and he waves. Like, that would be fine. Because we get Biker Taker at that point. Because he set that up. But, like, I'm curious to see what version of The Undertaker we get, and I also really want them to use a new picture of him. There's so many good pictures of him. I mean, you know.
Because it's confusing with the picture they use, because you then expect Undertaker, but if you get Badass Undertaker, then the picture was really wrong. So who knows what you're getting?
That's why I say you just take the picture of Mark from the Hall of Fame, and you just use that. Or you just take a picture of him in, like, his casual wear. Whatever that is for The Undertaker. Jeans and a black shirt. I mean, I don't know. And the beanie. Wait, is this a formal occasion? Does this require a baseball hat?
Because
there's
know.
A casual beanie, and then there's the formal baseball hat. I have to think about this for a second. I mean, I would have to say it's formal enough that it may require a baseball hat.
It is Raw XXX.
I mean, it's like Shawn, right? Like, is it formal enough for Shawn Michaels to wear his cowboy hat, or is he going to wear a baseball hat?
Shawn's going to wear the cowboy hat. He wore the cowboy hat on NXT. He'll wear it on Raw.
So for Taker, if he doesn't do the whole full getup, he won't have the Taker hat. I think this is maybe a bandana baseball cap situation. I'm not sure. I mean, we could also just get the super casual bandana. He could do that as well, because it's all about hiding the hairline. Which, by the way, I have a question. Is it just, like, a guy thing that, like, they just, y'all just deny your hair's falling out and you just won't get hair treatment? Because, like, there are hair treatment providers that, like, advertise during Raw, at least for me, because I watch it online. I don't watch it on TV. And I'm just really curious, especially with the whole John Cena scenario from a couple weeks ago, where there was a very apparent bald spot. Is that just a thing where you guys just don't want to get that taken care of? Or, like, what's the deal? I'm serious. I really want to know. Especially in the world of professional wrestling. It's like, I know it's just easier to shave it off, but there's all kinds of hair treatment options available, and they just don't see it. You're going full Master Roshi style? Okay. You know there's, like, powder you can put in your hair that will cover up a bald spot, right? Especially for the wrestler bump bald spot, you can just, like, hit it a little bit and it'll be fine. Like, I feel like some people don't know about hair care products, and I'm worried about them.
With that, we're done.
You have to transition to a wise Asian. But you're already a wise Asian man.
Anyway, this has been the Raw Post live right here on Wild Not Talk to Radio Network, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. Thursday night, we're back live, 10 p.m. Eastern for The Rack.
That's right. Tune in. We're doing
something.
Something. We don't know yet.
I have an idea, but we'll figure it out.
I may scream about Genshin. We'll see.
We'll see.
But yeah. Tune in Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Programming note. No Fortnite with friends on Saturday. I'm watching football. Following football, whenever football ends, will be CB Radio. So 11:30 is CB Radio Live. CBLive.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. Don't worry, I have an answer for you, Matt, in a second. Sunday, it's WTR Sunday at Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday night for Raw 30 review, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network at 11 p.m. Eastern. We're going to supplement Fortnite content, maybe, so you make sure you follow the Twitters at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. We may do a random Fortnite stream here or there to supplement the Fortnite content that you don't get on Saturday. Debating things. Could be Friday. Could be earlier than that. I don't know. We'll figure it out. So if you want more Fortnite work, we'll have it. Just won't be Saturday because Eagles game's on at 8:15 and I'm watching that. Sorry. Not sorry.
It's playoff football. It's important.
Sorry, not sorry. Anyway, as a reminder, the World Rumble Entry Contest is now available. Just say I'm in and you're in. Drawing will happen this Sunday on WTR Sunday night. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, facebook.com/WildTalkRadio. If you have that Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use creator code RockerSock or
Lin's M Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lin's Ward, L-E-N-S-W-R-D. You can check out my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Lin's Ward, where I will be live tomorrow night between 10:30 and 11 p.m. Eastern for the 3.4 drop on Genshin Impact. Y'all, we are less than 24 hours out from Al Haytham dropping, and I'm going to be probably releasing a trailer reaction tonight or tomorrow morning because the second Al Haytham trailer has dropped, and I'm going to watch it right after this show and react to it and put it out. But yes, I will be live tomorrow, and we will be spending money tomorrow because I am rolling for Al Haytham, and I'm probably rolling for the weapon, even though the weapon banner is a scam and you should not roll on it. I'm going to roll for the weapon because the weapon is pretty. And Al Haytham's worth it. So, if you want to come in and watch me scream and cry and talk all about the 3.4 updates and then talk about the 3.5 drip marketing, which dropped today, tune in twitch.tv/Lin's Ward tomorrow night between 10:30 and 11 p.m. Eastern. Follow me on Twitter to get notified of when I'm going live. Or, hey, you can follow my channel and get notified of when I'm going live. I would appreciate it. You can also check me in on YouTube, youtube.com/@Lin's Ward, or just look for Lin's Ward on YouTube or linsward.rockradioshow.com. All of them will take you to my YouTube channel where you can see my updated content. Ding!
This has been the Raw Post Show. We'll see you Thursday night for Rockin' all week long along the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.